Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man. Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist. That's right, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner. I'm throwing in Oracle too, Oracle, teacher, but most importantly, a student, an ongoing student forever until I breathe my last breath. And that is the beauty of this life, is just learning, being open, growing, expanding, always. It's never ending. I wish I had a camera on me. One of these days I'm going to get a camera just to follow every move I make. And I usually light candles all the time before I do a show. And, of course, I forgot this morning. Oh, the candles. Where's the lighter for the candles? Oh, my goodness. What a panic. However, they're lit, and the show is starting. And, you know, I just want to share, especially I get a lot of new people organically following me, so I just want to say thank you, welcome. And who the hell, happiness stuff was, how dare she? Well, happiness, you know what I've learned, too, about this, that word happy? It really gets a bad rap. I'm even considering, because someone brought this to my attention, and it is true, that this happiness, everyone's got a different definition, a different vibe, a different feeling, what is that, what does happy even mean? And it is unique to the individual. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens. The ability to be at peace regardless of what life throws at me. That's my definition. However, one word that I believe is universal, and everyone gets the meaning, gets the vibe, gets the energy behind it, and that word is contentment. The word contentment, I love that word. It is a powerful word, and you can feel it. You can feel it when it's inside every cell of your body, and it's living in every cell of your body. The vibration, the energy of contentment. That means that nothing has to happen until I breathe my last breath. Nothing has to happen. Nothing has to change. Nothing has to be different. I don't need anything other than what I have in this moment. That's my definition of happiness, the ability to be that vibration, the energy of peace and contentment, regardless of what this life brings to me, regardless of what happens. Regardless of what someone says, regardless of all of it, the ability to be the example of, the energy of peace. Woo! Boy, was I on fire with that. I did that whole thing with my eyes closed. And it's just, I'm here to tell you, money can't buy that. And I'm not poo-pooing money. I get the emails. But this race to, or this dissatisfaction that I need more in this moment, and I can do more if I had more. I get it. I totally get it. If I had more money, I could give more money away. That's what I say. Period. So it's not even about I'm just speaking for myself. And let me just start off by saying I do not pretend to have all of the answers, but I definitely have done a lot of research. I've done a lot of studying. I've done a lot of reading. I've done a lot of detective work. I've dug deep, and continue to dig. I can only dig deep. This surface stuff, hey, how was your, oh boy, if you really want to bother me, if you really want to meet me, just be in one of my classes, The Truth About Happiness, and then months later you ask me, 3 or 4 weeks after a New Year's, how was your New Year? How was Christmas? And because I teach about living in the moment, really. Anyway, I digress. Where the hell was I? Okay, let me get back to the topic of today's show. But let me introduce myself further. So when I say happiness specialist, when I was younger, I wished for two things. I wanted to live to my potential. You know, when you make a wish, when you throw a coin into the fountain, I wanted to live to my potential, and I wanted to be happy. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know what it, I definitely knew what it felt like. I definitely knew what discontentment felt like, what unhappiness felt like. And it seemed like that it was never constant. It was up and down and up and down and up and down. Sometimes I would feel great, and then sometimes I would feel not so great. And it would depend on what life threw at me. It depended on what life presented to me. That's how my feelings were gauged, depending on what happened, depending on the story that my ego would tell me. Oh, this is why. So it's really about going, elevating higher than the ego, higher, getting to another level above all the stories. And again, it's a practice. Let me just say this. Happiness is a practice skill. Contentment is a practice skill. It's just practicing. And the more you, and with any other skill, the more you practice, the better the results. I like to share this example. You probably heard of Gordon Ramsay. He's a very famous chef, global. He has restaurants that he's open. He's on television shows. He's an interesting character. He likes to yell a lot. He likes to get angry with people. He's a little controlling, but and I'm describing, I'm not judging. But he's a character. Let me just say that. Just like me, he's a character. Just like you, he's a character. And he has instructional videos on YouTube. And occasionally when I wanted to learn how to make, filet mignon or, you know, those high-end kind of meals, I go on YouTube and I find instructional videos from Gordon Ramsay or other chefs. My point is this. Can you imagine okay, this is what I did. I'm getting ahead of the story. I Googled the 10 hardest recipes to make in the world, the 10 most complicated, hardest recipes to make. And I'm not a baker. I'm not a chef. I'm not a cook. You know, I can do a couple of dishes. I really good spaghetti, shrimp scampi, but I digress. Very good soups, too. Okay, where was I? Oh, and one of the recipes, one of the only recipes I had heard of Baked Alaska. That's what it was, Baked Alaska. A lot of different moving parts, a lot of planning. I mean, it's really intensive, all of the instructions. But can you imagine if you visited or went to Gordon Ramsay school and he was teaching you personally one-on-one, how about, let's say, 4 hours a day, 4 hours a day for the next 5 years, maybe. Maybe we wouldn't need 5 years. Maybe we just need 2 years. Who knows? But if Gordon Ramsay was teaching you how to make one of the hardest dishes in the world, baked Alaska, don't you think you would have perfected that? Don't you think you would be able to perfect that recipe, one of the hardest recipes in the world, if Gordon Ramsay was teaching you that and practice and you practice and you practice for 5 years? I know I'm exaggerating with the 5 years, but the point is this. When I say happiness is a practice, peace is a practice, being content in every moment is a practice. It is. It's a practice. And I realize that everybody isn't interested, much to my chagrin. I realized a couple of years ago that everybody isn't interested in or everybody isn't down with, yeah, let's be happy. Boy, was that a slap in the face. No, and some people aren't interested. And so that was also another behavior that I had to change and accept, that everybody, happiness, contentment, peace isn't the be-all, end-all. However, what I like to share at this moment is that there is a very famous study, you can Google it, and forgive me if you've heard me say it a million times. I know my regular listeners, but we have new people every week. The five most common regrets of the dying. Pretty powerful study. It was done by a hospice nurse. And her patients, you know, they had weeks to live, days to live, months to live. And these were the five most common regrets that these people kept coming up with. They kept coming up with the same five regrets. And they are, thank you for listening, and I'll get to the queue. I see everyone's in the queue, and I see a couple of hands raised. I'll get to the queue in just a minute. Again, if you want to speak with me live, if you're on Wisdom, just ask to join, and or you can call in area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. So we're on Blog Talk Radio and Wisdom at the same time. Whoa, how did I figure that one out? Anywho, the five most common regrets of the dying. Number one, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. I wish I didn't work so hard. And you know, why I think this is so powerful, it's at the end of a life. I mean, when is it time for the truth to come out? If the truth is going to come out, if it hasn't come out now, it's definitely coming out toward the end. Or maybe not, quite frankly. I know it did for a lot of people that I've known that had 6 months to live the year before last. I remember my father. I remember my mother. It's just, I remember these things that would come out of their mouths that I would never even expect, but it came out toward the end of their life. Okay, anyway, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. Number two, here we go. I wish I didn't work so hard. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. I wish I would have stayed in touch with my friends. I put an asterisk beside that one. Sometimes friends and people are just outgrown. Sometimes the energy just isn't compatible. And the last one is, I wish I would have been happier. I wish I would have let myself be happier. And that's all the proof. Listen, I didn't need proof, but that's it. At the end of the day. And in fact, let me challenge you. Let me challenge you, my dear listeners. Let me challenge you, my dear audience. Can you even imagine how would you be different? What would you do different if you knew that you only had a limited amount of time left? And what would your regrets be? Is what you're prioritizing now something that you will be prioritizing later? And these are just questions. These are just questions. My priority is contentment, peace, till the day I breathe my last breath. I'm just letting you know that, as if you didn't know already. But that's it. And I'm holding on to that. You know, today's show, when I say happiness is a practice skill, let me just back up just quickly. When I say happiness is a practice skill, the practice is reverting back to who you were when you were born, reverting back to that person before the programming, the person that had zero concerns about accomplishments, titles, getting money, awards. It had nothing to do with accomplishments making you happy. It has something to do with just being, not doing, just being. Being, can you just be and feel that energy of contentment? This was in December, okay, because I wrote the date down. There's a very famous rapper. I used to like her, meaning I liked her music when she first came out. And, you know, that's what happens. Sometimes tastes change. However, one of the things that she posted in December, her name is Cardi B, and she said, "I'm sad today, and I don't even know why." I don't know how I found that or how I saw it. The universe always brings me quotes from people that, and when I say quotes from people, I'm talking about people that have some fame, some celebrity, people that are known. And so that was really interesting, and it stuck with me when she says, "And I don't know why." Because the programming is to put a story on why you're feeling a certain way. And that's the topic of today's show, why you're feeling a certain way. And, quite frankly, who decides? Who is the entity that even comes up with an answer? I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling shame. I'm feeling anger. Well, of course, anger. I'm feeling, what was the other one I was coming up with? Resentful. I'm feeling annoyed. I'm feeling all of those. How do you even know what each one of those feels like? All I'm doing is just challenging you to really challenge your beliefs, meaning challenge the stories, especially the stories that start with the word because. That word because. I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling bored. And I've heard that for the last couple of weeks. I'm feeling lonely. And especially, I'm not going to say, well, maybe it did start with the holidays, but that especially I'm lonely. I've heard that a lot. Maybe it was because of the holidays. I just kept hearing it. And I'm going to say even I felt, this was, you know, years ago, I'm lonely, especially when I was living in the forest, in the middle of a forest, all by myself, surrounded by trees. There were times when I said to myself, "I'm lonely." Definitely said that. I'm lonely. But let me just get back to the point, which is, if I can remember, the point is, how do you even know what loneliness feels like? So my challenge to you is to really go deep, deep, deep. Where did all of that begin? Where did the knowing and believing how loneliness feels? And my point to challenge that, to challenge every emotion or every label that you title your emotions, every label that you title it. I can title anger excitement. It's not title. I can label anger a form of excitement. So it's really about dissecting putting a spotlight on who is the author of the stories and telling yourself why you're feeling a certain way. See, that's what happens when I close my eyes. Hold on a second. I got to get back into the screen. Okay, there's the screen. Woo! Got to keep my eyes open. All right, where was I? Back to how do you even know? How do you even know what loneliness feels like? And when I ask that question, that's a serious question. And so then, let me switch it to this. How do I know what contentment feels like? Let me try to, and then I'm going to go to the callers. I'm going to go to the callers. I have one person that has their hand up. If you want to speak with me live, you can just ask to join on Wisdom and or call into Blog Talk Radio, which is area code 646-564-9619. What I like to share is what I share, the practice is personal responsibility. And I'm here to say that you're not lonely, you're not bored, you're not dissatisfied. You're programmed. You're not lonely. You're not bored. You're not dissatisfied. You're programmed. And that program is the cause of the angst, of the suffering, of the I hope you all understood that. Sometimes words just aren't enough. A lot of times words just aren't enough. Everyone understands that one. Not lonely, just dissatisfied. Not lonely, how could that be true? What does that even mean, your program? How do I know I'm lonely? So my point is to always question the belief. And in fact, I like to share. If you haven't heard of Byron Katie, B-Y-R-O-N Katie, K-A-T-I-E, and it's called The Work. And so there are four questions that she asked, and they're very succinct questions. And the first one is it true? When I say challenge your beliefs, challenge, is your belief even true? And then the second question, she says, can you absolutely know that it's true? So, lonely, is that true? Can you absolutely know for sure that it's true? And then the third question that she encourages the person to ask is, how do you feel when you believe that thought is true? And then the fourth question is, what would you do without that thought? So the question is, what do you do without the loneliness? So now you've labeled yourself lonely. Now you've labeled yourself bored. Now you've labeled yourself dissatisfied. What do you do with it? How is your energy that, I have to change something. I have to take action. I have to do something. I have to change this moment. See, that's really the point here. Are you bored? Are you lonely? Are you dissatisfied? And are you accepting of it, or do you want it to change? That is the key to all of this life. Are you accepting of it? Let me go to my first caller here. Hold on a second here. Area code 780. Thank you for holding. Hold on a second. Let me just unmute this. Oh, it's so complicated. Is this Jay?
Yes, it is. Welcome to
Hi,
the new
Jay.
Year.
Hi, okay, now I remember your number. Welcome, Jay, to Reality Spirituality, your comment and or question, and thank you so much for calling in and sharing in advance.
Hey, you're very welcome. It's a great topic for the show. And my comment is that I don't think we actually feel lonely, but I think it's we have outside stimuli that actually trains us, our mind, and even our spirit to be actually feeling lonely. Because during the Christmas time or the holiday season, it was all about the happiness, right? Every time we look, it's, you know, happy Christmas or Merry. Merry means happy, you know, happy Christmas. And you know, I feel appeal to that was people is, it's kind of like, well, am I supposed to be feeling happy too?
You know, you brought up such a great point. I mean, and that's my whole, and I just wanted to interrupt really quick because I just didn't want to forget.
Okay.
This point about all of us herd animals, and I'm going to say herd animals, I'm very serious about that, herd animals are supposed to feel a certain way on the same day. First, to feel a certain way on the same day, we're supposed to act the same way on the same day. And so getting back to the loneliness and your point is who teaches, who shares, who says, hey, it's okay to be by yourself during the holiday season. It's okay to be a loner. See, we're not all made from the same cloth. We're different as our fingerprints. You know, I've heard that a million times. Sorry, Jay. But we're so different, but it's not taught. In fact, I was hosting a class, of course, same topic, the truth about happiness, and it was really about positivity and happiness. And the woman in the class, it was really interesting because she was knitting the whole time through the class. I've never had that happen. I've had people, you know, take phone calls and people read magazines and read books, but I've never had anybody knitting. So that was the first time for me. Anyway, I digress. But so one of the things that she said was she was talking about community and how humans need community. Now, I'm not saying that they do or they, and there are some people that definitely do, but we're all so different. So this practice of the norm, what is the norm? This norm for who and for what? So this lonely, I know I'm going on and on, but this lonely thing, just like you said, Jay, especially when you compare, that's another practice that subtracts from your happiness, comparing yourself to anyone else. And I'm up here to tell you that I want to know what happens behind the scenes, behind the smiles, behind the behind the curtain. But I totally I love that you pointed that out, especially during the season. You're not lonely, you're programmed. So it is a program that says if you're by yourself, there's no reason to feel good. And I'm just here to say there's plenty of reason to feel, to be at peace and to feel good about yourself and your life by yourself. Did I go on for too long?
No, you're just doing great. Just doing great. But, you know, I'm going to add on to that.
Your comment, please.
Yeah, because, you know, I feel that there companies and businesses use fear of being alone to promote or sell a product, too, during this, you know, during the season, the holiday season. Too, right? If you don't get this, you won't feel happy, right? Or you don't be with other people, you'll be happy. I mean, there's a definition between, I think there should be a defining, a definition between aloneness and alone, like being alone and aloneness. Because there is a difference too, right? Whether you're solitude and whether you're alone because there's nothing there, right? So there is a difference too.
Tell me, have you ever bought into this I'm Lonely program?
No, because it was always something for me to explore. Because I was always something to me to explore, as in keep my mind going. If I want to not be alone. I'll actually go pursue and talk to my friends. See, there's a, there's an effort here, right, of doing this. Because if people are feeling lonely, are they actually pursuing things that won't make them feel lonely, as in pick up the phone and phone somebody you haven't phoned for a long time?
Well, so now what you're talking about is something external, and I'm really talking about something internal.
No, I'm not talking about something external. I'm telling you that it takes something, a drive to do that, to drive to actually do something, not be okay. I'm saying, if you're phoning somebody because you feel like, oh, I feel lonely today, I'll just go phone somebody, you know, and make me feel better. That's, you're making a strive for that, okay, that you won't feel lonely. So, I mean, I think there's also loneliness could also be if someone actually had passed, let's say a partner or a friend has passed, that could actually make you feel lonely too. So there's another aspect of that. So it depends on the situation too. So for people who have lost, let's say a partner during the holiday season, then I would say yes, they would be feeling lonely. They could actually phone somebody not to feel lonely, like I said. So, but that's, there's always something to drive you to not be in that, I don't know, programmed or situation, right? To be stuck in that way.
So I think we're talking, and I love your perspective. So we have, and that's the beauty of this. There's so many different perspectives. So when what you were describing sounded like a program to me. I'm lonely because I lost somebody during the holidays. There's not here, and I'm not poo-pooing it. Let me just say that. I'm just trying to explain. I'm coming from a totally different place. That it is, this loneliness has is a lonely program. It's a program of feeling a certain way that has gotten, I'm just going to speak for myself, got into my own soul, and yeah, I'm lonely to the point where I believed that there was a possibility that I could be lonely. But the point is that this loneliness is a lonely programming, just like a bored programming or I'm dissatisfied programming. So it's really about the programming that I'm talking about. And I'm here to say that. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's also technology that actually tells our brain to create dopamine to make us feel good. And then if we don't have that technology and communications with other people, technology-wise, and have a lack of dopamine, then we feel lonely too. There could be that also.
Okay. And Got it. And I still contend that to be very conscious and very aware of the programming of I'm lonely, of I'm bored. If the world sells dissatisfaction. The world sells dissatisfaction for a reason. And you mentioned it earlier, Jay, as far as, you know, people spending money. And so it is the programming that is the cause. Anyway, I just want to say thank you for sharing your perspective. Yeah, I always love when you call in. I have someone else that wants to make a comment and or have a question. Area code, and again, if you're on Wisdom, you can just ask to join. And the number to call in is area, thanks again, Jay. The number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Okay, area code 323, you are live on Reality Spirituality. Welcome. What's your first name?
Hi, thank you. This is David. I was listening to you on Blog Talk and decided to call in.
Oh, hello. Hello.
So it's interesting. I've actually had the exact opposite experience. My greatest loneliness is when I've been surrounded by people.
I love that. Please share.
Yeah, I was never more lonely than at Staples Center with 20,000 people screaming for Tina Turner and I felt like I was the only person in the world.
Huh. And I heard what you said. Do you have any reason that your ego or your mind or your lower consciousness told you as to why you felt like you were the loneliest person in the world surrounded by 20,000 people? Did your ego give you a reason why?
I've always felt myself as unattached to what was going on around me and not part of community. And I've had huge success. I was successful on Broadway, and I played professional poker, and I've made a shitload of money, and I never felt connected. And what's interesting is you were talking about the programming that we get to fit in. And to a large extent, I think I haven't bought into the programming. I never did. I think I was just kind of resistant to it. I think that's why my teachers rejected me, my family rejected me. And this is not a poor me, I'm not whining, but I'm living in luxury in a gilded cage, kind of cut off from life. I'm not on social media. I've never been on Facebook. I don't get in Twitter fights. I don't get in fights with people. The programming is the deal here. If you're not living in the programming, there's not a lot to do here. Because the conflict and the greed and the desire is what's spinning the entire wheel.
You know, you just said a mouthful, and I got chills all over. And I get chills when I hear the truth or I speak the truth, and I'm talking about universal truth. And so this is fascinating. I've never talked to someone, I have my best friend, but I've never talked to someone who has said that they resisted the programming from the very beginning and that you were ostracized. You know, and that's the thing, being different, it is a badge of honor. It is an award. I mean, Academy Award, a Super Bowl trophy, Oscars, who cares? What about being different, being unique? I just love this. You said your name was David?
Yes.
Yes. So can you share a little bit, if you feel inspired, share how and when did you realize, okay, back up, because I just have so many questions for you. Did you ever get to a point of total acceptance of self, being who you are, exactly, like you said, not programmed? I mean, and I really mean that, embracing self and being okay and content with self. That's the one question. And the other question is, okay, I'll just stick with that question for now.
Okay. So, yes, I started feeling that. I mean, I was always spiritually driven. When I remember, I think I was 11 the first time I heard and understood the word enlightenment, and I said, that's what I want. I mean, it was always a spiritual journey for me. The people that came into my life, it was always I always saw it as, even as a teenager, I saw it as a karmic, like balancing the slate. Do I owe these people anything? Do I, you know, or are they here to help me, or are they here to apologize? I mean, I don't think I've ever had a relationship in this lifetime with someone that I didn't know in another place and time. And I think that I always knew, I mean, I didn't fit in. I mean, when you go to school and you're like, are you a jock? Are you a nerd? Are you in the theater? Are you, you know, on the football team? Are you in this? Are you in the math club? I didn't want to participate in any of it. And I had the ability to. I was an athlete and I participated, but I didn't hang out with the team. I never fit in with a group and I never had a desire to. And by the time I was in high school, that was coming back at me. So I was ostracized and actually bullied a lot just because I wasn't trying to fit in. And I kind of understood the deal to a large extent. And I didn't, you know, but I didn't want to play their game. And so I have, as an adult, had a lot of time where I'm comfortable with who I am and not looking out into the world needing anything or wanting anything or wanting to change anything. But that does become a very strange experience, because after a while, I've gotten to the point where, all right, if I'm completely calm and I don't need anything, and listen, I'm not complaining. I have like the fastest BMW in the world, but I got in my beautiful, and I wrote a check for it. So it's not, I mean, I'm living the life, but I got in my BMW and then some idiot is tailgating me when I'm already going over the speed limit. And it's just like, why do I want to put myself out in this world? And, you know, like stupid people at the grocery store on their cell phones ramming you with their carts. I don't have the desire to go out there and compete. But I actually think that it's ultimately costing me, because that's what the world is. The world is about going out and making your way. And you know, you listen to some of these shows, they're always like, get in touch with your greatest desire. What is your passion? The big thing is passion. Nobody used the word passion for 150 years, and now everyone's like, what's your passion? And it's like, what they're saying is, what do you want outside of yourself? And that's a trap.
Hey, thank you. Oh, my God. Yes. Okay, now I'm really getting chills. But you know what? I feel something from you, though, David. I mean, I'm really getting chills when you just said that. But I feel there's, and I totally get it, 2% of the population, 2% of the population gets it. And I say that with love, and I say that with acceptance, and I say that when I go out in the world, I totally understand it. So the practice comes back to me, though. The practice comes back to me, which is, I'm laughing because I relate to you, especially when you said stupid people. But this is the thing. And what I know is whatever I label someone else, if I label them stupid, guess what? I'm really talking about me. So that, let me just get that right out there. The practice is really accepting these people, because this is everything has been created. It's all in divine order. So my practice is acceptance, and then to share with just like you said, looking for something outside of myself. I don't know. Let me just say this. I remember what you're talking about, David, about purpose. And I spent years. What's my purpose? I used to think that when I found my purpose, I'd be happy. So started the search. What's my purpose? And that search, looking for my purpose, lasted for decades. But finally, I found out what my purpose is. My purpose, this is just my perspective, but my purpose is to grow and expand my consciousness. My purpose is to accept myself and accept others without criticism or complaints. Ooh, that's a tough one. My purpose is to feel in every moment a sense of satisfaction. I'm reading this because I wrote this. When did I write this? 2022, October. My purpose is to feel in every moment a sense of satisfaction. No, that's not when I wrote this. This is 2019. That's when I copied it. 2019. My purpose is to be okay with uncertainty. My purpose is to trust and to live in every present moment like I did when I was popped out, when I was born. My purpose is to look in the mirror for solutions, and it's to be myself just like you were talking about, David, without shame. My purpose is to surrender in every moment, and to know that everything that I need is supplied in every moment. And my purpose is to celebrate my growth, even if it's just a little speck, even if I'm just different today than yesterday. And my purpose is to be the energy of peace, because whatever my energy is, my contribution. And my purpose is to share what I've learned about this purpose. And so, David, but I'm going to ask you something, as I'm feeling something from you, and I just want to know if I'm off. Do you laugh a lot?
No, I make people laugh. I can't remember the last time I was at Whole Foods when I didn't make the cashier laugh. So I bring a lot of laughter to people, but I don't laugh a lot. I don't find the world that funny. I mean, and I have a little bit more of a different perspective on what's going on here in the universe. And like I said, I think this is a game for people who, you know, it's about getting as much money and as much sex and as much power as you can get. That's the game.
Yeah.
That's what we're playing.
Yeah, that is the programming. That is the programming. But the game is, the truth is, none of that stuff, and that's why I have this show, none of that shit, makes you happy, brings you any kind of peace, any kind of contentment. There is an article that Will Smith, He was interviewed in GQ magazine in November 2021. I shared this before 2021 before the world heard the slap. And one of the things that he said in this article was he wanted to be one of the biggest movie stars in the world. And I mean, come on, the music career, the movie career, the television career. But you know what he said? He said he wasn't happy. He doesn't have to prove that to us anymore.
No.
And so when you say that, I totally get it. And so the program is, the teaching is, that those things acquire, the reason why those things are, people are looking for, searching, is because they think it's going to bring them some type of peace and some type of happiness. And what you're just saying is that it's not. And in fact, one of the latest, I don't know, have you heard of Andrew Tate?
The name sounds familiar, but I don't know.
Yeah, he's one of these. He's one of these guys now who's, you know, supposedly Googled more than presidents, more, you know, Trump, Biden. He's supposedly the most Googled man on the planet, and he's
okay.
Very controversial. You either like him or you hate him. Very controversial. Mm-hmm. However, and he's worth a little bit of money, millions. However, one of the things that he said recently, I was just listening to an interview, and he said he's realized that peace is more important than having money. And it's just a light switch that goes on. Peace is more important than money. The five most common regrets of the dying. And the fifth one is, I wish I would have been happier. Absolutely none of those, I don't know if you listened to this show earlier, David, but absolutely none of those, you can Google five regrets of the dying, none of the regrets of the dying have anything to do with money, getting money, and or accomplishments, none of it. So, like I said, it's 2% of the population that gets it. But the other percent, we have to live in this world. So my practice, because if I'm not practicing it, guess who's miserable? Guess who's drinking the poison? Guess who's shooting herself in the foot? Me, is acceptance of these people. It's just not their time. What I say is, it's the only reason why I say it is because my son used to say, well, what do you think, you're better than anyone? No, not better. What I say is that we're all avocados. We're all avocados. And some of us, we're just not ripe. It's just not our time to be ripe, period. And so I get it, but that's what brings me peace, and brings me peace to accept these people and accept, just like the universe, the sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. So it's being an example. This is my perspective, me being an example of the universe, a human example of the universe, acceptance without judgment. Not easy.
Right. Well, so it's interesting you brought up peace, because I think about that a lot. And for many years, John Lennon's Imagine was my favorite song, and it was kind of my mantra. But And I had someone many years ago say, but how boring would that world be? And I thought about that question for a long time, and there is some truth in that question. How boring would it be? And I'm not sure what the point of having a body and having this physical reality is if we're not trying for something outside of ourselves, trying to get something, trying to go somewhere, trying to have sex with someone, trying to have power over someone. I think the mirage is this idea that there was this perfect Eden and that we were all perfectly enlightened and that you know, the controllers came in and slowly screwed everything up and now we're all programmed. I think it was always this way. I mean, I'm not saying I'm right, but right now, if you ask me today, I think this is the game. This is the game, and you either play it or you don't. And I'm choosing not to play it, and there is a fair amount of satisfaction in it, but I'm only able to do it because for whatever reason, the game provided me with enough money that I can sit out a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know why that happened. I don't know why that happened. But,
well, that's your destiny.
But there isn't, like I said, I mean, when you go out in the world and there, you know, people have masks and you know, my neighbor's this rabid Trump supporter who just, you know, will scream at you. And, you know, and it's like, you know, so here I am living with a view of the Pacific Ocean and, you know, this palatial place, and then I still get taunted by crazy people next door. And well, you know, and I get it. It's part of the mob, and that's what I'm talking about, that people want to be a part of a group. And, you know, there's never been...
Well, they don't have a choice.
You know,
does a robot have a choice other than what he's programmed? Go ahead.
No, but I just think it's, you know, what I'm saying is there, I've gotten to a point where I have sympathy for people who get caught up in cults and get caught up in group thinking, because that is actually the easiest way to live this life, to be a part of a group and not have to think for yourself and not have to stand up for yourself. And I don't recommend my way to anybody. I mean, it's been rough. I'm not complaining, because obviously there was also an incredible amount of support. Certainly I have had financial windfall that I didn't earn or deserve. So there is definitely some force that wants to keep me here in the game, even as I'm largely not participating. But I sometimes do wish, like, oh, you know what? I should have joined those groups in high school, and I should have joined a fraternity, and I should have tried harder when I was, you know, on Broadway to be friends with everyone. And, you know, there's part of me that sometimes wonders, like, did I miss out on all that? I don't think I did, but being part of the group, if you're not part of the group, what are you doing here?
What an interesting question.
Even the people...
Well, go ahead.
But monks. What are monks? They all go and be in a group together. I mean, you don't hear a lot about monks living by themselves. They still get into a monk group.
Mm-hmm. And again, one of the biggest challenges is looking out and making a comparison, that program to compare myself with what anybody else is doing, whether they're in a group or whether they're by themselves, whether they have a lot of money or they don't have a lot of money, where they have a talent that I don't have. It's the comparison. It's looking out and comparing. And the looking back and the other thing. Let me just do this. Because what you just talked, everything that you were saying, David, is just another program, another belief. And I'm just sharing this. Look back and say, maybe I could have done this. Maybe I should have done that. No regrets. Everything there's a reason for everything that is here. Whether my little pea brain can't come up with the reason why. But there is a reason. There is an order to this universe. There is an order to it, whether I understand it or not. And why am I here? Well, but my belief is I chose to come back for a reason. And I'm not even going to come up with the story as to why, but that's what I believe. I came here for a reason, and so is everybody here for a reason. I don't know what their reason is. I'm not going to be in their business. I'm not in the universe's business, but I definitely believe that I made a choice to come here. And if I want to use my intuition, it's to get to the truth about what this life really is. What is the truth and what is not the truth? And what is not the truth is the programs. And let me just give you a list of program behavior that subtracts from, and I'm going to use the word happiness, but the word is really a vibration. When I say happiness, it's a state of mind. It's a state in mind. It is a vibration. It's an energy. So here are some of the program behaviors, and these are all programs. We were all taught these. We all learned them. So whatever you learn, the good news is you can unlearn. So number one, blaming anyone or anything for the way you feel. Comparing yourself to anyone else. That is a recipe for depression. Comparing yourself to anyone else. Giving power to words. I know words are powerful. I get it. But energy, that there is not one word that anyone can say on this planet that's going to make me feel any kind of way, either good, either complimented or insulted. And that's a practice. No, I do not give any power to words. You do have energy, but not words, not manly words. Noticing what someone else is doing. That's just called being in someone else's business. Talking negatively about what someone else is doing, also known as gossip. Thinking anything is serious, thinking anything is important. I get a lot of pushback on that one. But that program of this is serious, this is important, is another program. Thinking money can buy inner peace or happiness. We already know that's not the truth, don't we? Anthony Bourdain, Robin Williams, Prince, Michael Jackson, Elvis, Kate Spade, what was the latest one? Twitch, come on. Nothing to do with peace or contentment. I just get so, but the world teaches different. Have this, do this, attain this. This is a goal, 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 have goals. Make more money, you'll feel better. And I'm here to tell you that's not it. The feel good is inside. It's nothing to do with out there. Nothing to do with it. Let me see. Okay, here's another one. Wanting someone else to think what you think is important is important. Wanting someone else to think what you think is important is important. I like that one. That's for all you people out there with causes. Not to say that you can't have a cause, but wanting someone else to think that your cause is important is a problem for you.
Right.
Sharing bad news. Watching or listening to the morning, afternoon, or nightly news. Having expectations. Expecting anyone. Oops. I'm going to turn this one off. Let's see. Don't pay attention to the man behind the curtains. Don't pay attention to the man behind the curtains. Okay, having expectations. Having attachments. Living in the past. Living in the future. All judgments. Having a preference, I know, resisting the moment, trying to control anyone or anything outside of yourself, complaining, everybody knows about that. But can you be content and complain at the same time? How about this one, taking anything personally? I already shared with you the story about Walter O'Brien. Don't make me share it for the millionth time. Taking anything personally, getting embarrassed. The only reason why people get embarrassed, we've talked about it before. Oh, no. Uh-oh. See, I just kicked myself out of the studio again. Hold on. That's my password. Surrender trust. That's right. That's my password with a year. Let's see. Okay. Getting embarrassed. There's only one reason why people get embarrassed. Is because they care what other people think. Worrying. We weren't born with that. That's another program. Fear, it's another program. Assigning a label to an experience, a label, good, bad, sad. No, this life is just an experience without any judgment, and let go of the labels. Being critical of yourself or others. Needing to be right. Ooh, boy, I had that one bad. Oh, I needed to be right. Not only did I need to be right, I knew I was right. And even though it sounds like I am, that I think I'm right now, even though it sounds that way, I'm so open to being wrong. I'm so open to being wrong, it's not even funny. And before, I was never open to being wrong because I never thought I was. Make sense? You heard me.
Yes.
Lack of personal growth, being impatient. And that being impatient is with self. And when you're impatient with self, you're impatient with others. Using the word should. And let me come back to my caller, David, for a minute. Because when I said I could feel you, what I can't feel, and this is just, you know, only what I'm feeling, I don't feel a lot of lightness, light, L-I-G, lightness, which is opposite of heavy. I don't feel a lot of lightness from you. Am I off?
Well, I don't think of myself, I don't think of myself as a light soul. But I'm certainly benevolent. I mean, you know, that list you just gave, I don't try and convince people they're wrong. I don't try and convince people I'm right. I don't fight with anyone. I turn the cheek so much. I walk away so much. I mean, it's all I do. But again, it gets boring. So I would say that, no, I'm a very serious soul who appreciates levity and humor, but it's not my most innate gift.
Okay. It's interesting to me. It's interesting. Keep going.
No, but people who know me, that's actually where a lot of my humor comes from, is that people who know me, you know, I play against that. I play against my kind of serious, I would say I'm a serious soul. I'm a very serious soul. I came here with an agenda, and I didn't come here for fun.
Sorry. Wow. Well, that's the opposite of me. He said, I did not come here for fun. It just struck me. Wow. Well, yeah, I don't know if I came here for fun, but fun is definitely part of my list of things to do on the regular. Fun and laughing. And it's not about with other people. I can be funny and entertain myself. It's kind of on the borderline of just being crazy. Crazy, but in the good sense. Yeah, fun, yeah. Funny, light. The serious, for me, my soul was killing me. Killing me. That's very dramatic. Wasn't compatible with me. Let's say that. When I discovered who I was really seriously and not the programmed me, then the being serious, I was putting on a pair of shoes that didn't fit.
Right.
So I'm just curious. Your serious shoes fit then. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I'm a loafer guy, and I can't change it. I can wear flip-flops, but they're never going to be comfortable.
Okay. All right, my interesting young man.
I was just watching some dogs walk by out front, and it was interesting. They, you know, so like big dogs, German Shepherds, Doberman Pinschers, they come. They make eye contact. They come and they sit next to me, like the Sphinx. Like they just like they want me to be like their pack leader. And little dogs yap at me and can't stand being near me. It's fascinating. So my energy is definitely is not light and playful and silly. It's strict.
Mm.
And that's just who I am. I mean, eventually, you know, like the song says, I got to be me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And that is the lesson for the day is being you, being uniquely you, and not just for you, it's for every single person. So this buy into I'm bored, I'm lonely, I'm dissatisfied, and I'm throwing in bored there. All of that, buy into that. Know that you didn't even know what that was before. It was programmed into you. So that's all I'm saying is be aware, put a spotlight on it, of the programming. Because you're in there somewhere. You're in there underneath all the programming, and that's really what all of my sharing is about. In fact, the book that I'm writing is going to be out this year for sure. You know, I've been saying it for a while. Program for Unhappiness. And anyway, wow, I believe that okay. I've come to David. Would you like to make another comment? I'm ready to wrap up the show. I really appreciate your contribution and your uniqueness and sharing. That everybody, I mean, this man is saying that it's, and I get it, that it's, I don't want to say painful, no, not painful, but it's challenging going out into the world being different. It is challenging. But the difference is the uniqueness. I mean, look at the stars. We don't compare stars in the sky, the trees. Look, the program is to compare. The program is to be like everyone else. No. And all I'm saying is to be aware of, challenge that programming. And I say eliminate it one by one. This is the other one, another program. Assuming or thinking that you're wasting time. Ooh-wee, what? Yes. Having regrets, using the word should, thinking there's something wrong with life, being unfair and or unjust, making a judgment about this life. That's a subtraction. That's a program. And I know it. I used to do it all the time, but I'm just here to say that the practice now is acceptance and just to trust. Because these are the behaviors that add to your peace and contentment is humbling the ego, self-awareness, detachment, being conscious, living consciously at all times, acceptance of self and others, being okay with uncertainty. And you know these people that have these very passionate pleas. They either love someone or they hate someone, love-hate relationship with either a celebrity or politician. I'm telling you right now, if there is anybody, celebrity, politician, or anybody that you have disdain for, it doesn't matter who it is, trust me, I've done the work. I've done the research. Yes, I have. Yes, I've been through all of it. And contentment is number one, and it is for me. What I want to share is that disdain for anyone out there, especially if you don't know them, is really disdain for self. Oh, no, I didn't say that. Did I just say that? Oops. I hope nobody was listening. Yeah, whatever you find, you know, that villain, that person you can't stand, the person, oh, God, he's so opposite of me. He's a narcissist. He's a racist. She's a, what's the other word? There's all of those trigger words, all of those words, whatever you're describing someone else, know that you're talking about yourself. Ouch! I know I had to learn that one the hard way. The other
all right,
was that hello?
Yes. I wanted to thank you for the conversation, and
oh,
I will
sure.
definitely tune in and listen to you again.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I didn't even know that you were still, let's see, oh, okay, that you were still live, but I appreciate that. And I just want to say that I get it. Going out, 2% of the population understands, and the majority, and it's not easy. It isn't easy. But the practice is acceptance, and acceptance of this world and the wackiness, and it looks wacky, feels wacky, out of order, out of control, chaos, war, all of that. I get it. I mean, my head isn't in the sand. I understand. I know what's out there. However, I'm just saying that trust, the practice is to trust that regardless of what you see, don't believe your eyes all the time. Trust that everything is in order and there is a purpose. There is a purpose. Whether or not you want to believe that or not. And the thing that the ego, and thank you again, David, for your contribution. I really appreciate you and just especially your uniqueness. And your the contribution, whatever you are vibrating, whatever energy you are vibrating, know that that's what you're contributing to the planet. So if you are vibrating anger, if you're vibrating anything, how about this, low vibrations, all low vibrations, from shame to anger to guilt to blame, all those low vibrations, know that that is what your contribution is to this planet. And so why are we here? To make a contribution. Well, what is the contribution? Maybe it's just your energy. Maybe your energy is the contribution. I could be off. But that keeps me focused. That keeps me practicing. That keeps me on the path. You know, my favorite quote from Abraham is, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. And acceptance. And not a lot of people are chosen. That's right, I said it. Not a lot of people are chosen to discover, to know the truth. And what is the truth? That you are a energy, you are a spirit, you are having a human experience. Your spirit having a human experience. And so that's why this human experience for me is not, I'm not taking it seriously. I can't take it seriously. I know how I felt when I did. Anyway, I love the show today. So again, the topic, you're not lonely, you're programmed. You're not bored, you're programmed. You're not dissatisfied, you're programmed. So it is about the program. And on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is being at peace, being feeling content? How important is that in your life? Not everybody is going to agree with me. Not everybody is going to share that. It's 10. 10 all the time, 10. And then what is your definition of happiness? And who or what is subtracting from your happiness today? And are you as happy or are you as peaceful when you're faced with life's inevitable challenges? Either yes or no. Can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? Do you blame other people for how you feel? Do you blame your circumstances for how you feel? That's all the program. Well, that's the end of today's show. I want to thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality Radio is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And you can visit my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. LinkedIn, my Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. My YouTube channel is going to be updated soon. Yay! My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And I wrote a chapter in the book I read, which was released March of last year. And it is just about the author that I believe was very foundational, was a foundational teacher, and that was David Hawkins. So I just wrote a little chapter about the effect Dr. David Hawkins has had on my growth and continued growth. You can find some of his videos on YouTube, David Hawkins, and it's not the scientist. No, it's Dr. David Hawkins, spiritual teacher that wrote Power versus Power versus Force, and then the other book, The Eye of the Eye, a lot of good books. Okay, where was I? And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. Your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. And remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist, inner peace practitioner, oracle teacher, and more importantly, student. Happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you will find, and your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice. Thank you for listening. Have a conscious week.
Yeah, it's time to get real. Oh yeah.
Reality,
it's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real. Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, time to get down.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, you don't feel good now.
Get real good.
Get
spirituality.
Now, that's what I'm about to say.
Time to get.